Now, the people who are now following the master's course in critical care, when they start working, when they finish the master's course and they start working, will they be paid more or less in respect of the people who haven't followed the master's course but have been working for years in critical care? Okay, thank you. Another question from the same area, more or less. Yes, here, please. Yes? My name is Pierluigi Bellavite. I work in resuscitation in the Legnano Hospital. Now, my question is the following, and it's actually Jos who stimulated me to ask this question. Now, we've been discussing the ways in which nurses address the pain suffered by patients. However, we have not been discussing the issue of the quality of life which a patient may expect after being nursed by us. Now, I have recently attended a meeting organized by those who care for terminal patients and who discuss the issues related to the quality of life of terminal patients. Well, I listened to their debate, and at the end, I told them, "Well, I'm sorry, but I have the impression we live on different planets because we do entirely different things. I mean, we really strap, we tie people to the beds, we intubate them, we torture them. It's physical torture, and we know that they have no realistic prospects of an acceptable life, and still we torture them." Yes, can you ask the question, sir, please? Okay, my question is the following. I've heard Jos tell us that nurses are involved in these ethical debates and issues. I have had the opportunity of talking to the doctor in charge of my ward, because there was a very difficult case, and well, I've also told him, "Listen, we will be judged for what we do to these people." And his reply was, "You as nurses certainly feel the situation much more than we as doctors do, but you cannot decide. It's up to us doctors to decide, and it's difficult to decide." That's what he told me. Thank you. I'm Anna Cupini from Santa Maria Hospital in Terni. Mrs. Silvestro, now don't you think that the fact that we now have this degree is perhaps an achievement, but it's also, or rather, in particular the post-registration degree, the master's course, has actually penalized those who have been studying in a specialized school before the university degree was created? Good afternoon. I'm Ivan Yasibetti. I work in Turin for the Burns and Burn Patient Center. I have been trained in the university. I have a university diploma. And actually, I am not sure I agree with what you have said regarding university training. I don't really feel that I'm a paramedic, actually. That's just what I wanted to say. And another point. I am perplexed by what Annalisa Silvestro has just told us regarding pay. Now, I believe we're all free to decide whether we want to be freelancers or to work as an employee for a public body. Now, the point is, I may be underpaid by a public body, but the point is that the public body does not allow me to work as a freelance. Okay, let's start with Annalisa. So I'll start from the last question. Probably I've not expressed myself appropriately, and I think that, well, I have been perhaps misunderstood. Now, as nurses, we cannot work as freelancers, really. Not yet. We can just support doctors who are actually allowed to work as freelancers, although they work in a hospital. Now, there is this concept of extra work, which is not clearly defined. The law should have expired, but it's been prolonged until the end of this year. Probably it's going to be prolonged until the end of next year too. But you know, this is not working as a freelance. Working as a freelance means being able to choose whether you want to work as an independent or not. So I think that if one wants to work independently, one must be allowed to do so entirely. What we're allowed to do now is not really working as an independent. It's sort of, well, if I may say so, it's like doing piecework. You know, it's like working by the hour. It allows wards in hospitals to have enough people in order to keep the standards of care, but without paying for full-time workers. It's not really something which is done with a view to guaranteeing the ability of nurses to work as independents or freelancers. Now, as the president of our federation, I'm working for the right of nurses to work independently as freelancers with their own objectives, with their own training, and obviously all this should be targeted to the need for health care and nursing care of citizens. Now, I regret the fact that there is a clear diversification in our country, but the point is that in some areas of Italy, nurses may work with this concept of extra work, but actually it's like piecework. But we don't really know whether this is due to the need of hospitals to fiddle their accounts and provide standards of care without paying for full-time workers, or whether there's really a demand for freelance nurses. Now, dear colleagues, I agree with what our friend Eddie Drigo has told us. We should not be, as it were, self-referential when we make certain statements. And the point is that when we work, there are some very sad conditions which are actually maintained by nurses themselves. Because, you know, there are colleagues who actually decide to opt for this so-called extra time simply because they want the money. And these colleagues are the ones who will oppose any reorganization of processes, of job descriptions, full-time, part-time, freelance, and so on. But, I mean, nurses may be their own worst enemies. Yet, what we have now is quite different from being independent freelancers. As regards the other issue, we're not paramedics, we are nurses. And this is a clear qualification. We've been fighting to define ourselves as nurses, not paramedics. And again, the problem is that there is a very high diversification in Italy as regards education. There are, for instance, in Italy, certain universities in which you get a nursing degree and there is no nurse among the professors. So, obviously, in these cases, you may have doubts about the quality of teaching. And we're talking about university institutions, so it's up to us to change the situation. Now, what about the master's degree, the post-registration university education? Well, I am perfectly aware of all the critical aspects involved in this. And indeed, we have been talking about this in our journal. I've been writing editorial comments on that. We have been fighting to get another degree. And in that respect, well, you may start booing and hissing if you want, but do you think it is really so trivial, after you listen to what is happening in other countries, do you think it's really so trivial to get a decree in July? And a decree is a sort of emergency piece of legislation, and this is probably due to the fact that the ministry was put under pressure by us. But do you think that all health professionals are happy that there is a degree for nurses? Do you think that all health professionals and care providers are happy to know that there will be doctors in nursing? Do you think that everybody is happy about the fact that a hospital may have a nurse as a manager in a couple of years' time? Do you think that we're not going to meet with any opposition? Well, if this is what you think, perhaps you're a bit naive, dear colleagues. We are fighting major resistance on that. And, I mean, the reason why we have such a difficult condition is simply that, well, we have been fighting, but not enough. I think that our contracts of employment are perhaps better than those of other countries, but as regards the social status and the economic status, things are no better. Now, that decree I'm talking about on the master's course in nursing was issued as it was issued in July because they were expecting us to file a lawsuit against the government on the decree in order to have it rejected. And you know that now we have a university reform which is based on the principle of a first 3-year degree cycle at the university and then a second cycle based on a 2-year course. So what we did was we accepted the decree, we didn't file an appeal against the decree, and actually we got a second modified decree. And so the old diploma given by the pre-university courses will be accepted as equivalent to a university diploma. So we've been able to deal with that situation, as Danilo Masai has clearly illustrated yesterday. And this is one good result. In addition to this, if you read my editorial comment in the last number of a journal, you'll find that sentence. This was a further step forward, but we also want recognition of other clinical and education courses, including master courses. But, dear colleagues, if we keep challenging the results which we actually obtain through struggles and fighting, because it's never enough, well, we're giving the others the opportunity to tell us perhaps it's not worth giving nurses what we've given them because they don't deserve it. Actually, we now have a master's course for nurses, a post-registration master's course for nurses, and we have more than 1,000 nurses who have already registered for that course. And they've already started attending it. Now, I don't wish to overemphasize these results, but please, let's all think together whether we're really the worst case scenario or whether there aren't problems also in other countries. I agree, we would have liked to have more, but it's not been possible to get all that was promised to us. Nonetheless, we are trying to make up for what we have lost, and we are trying at least to get even postgraduate education for nurses, post-bachelor, post-registration education for nurses. As regards the recognition of master's courses or other academic diplomas and so on, well, now, as a federation of the colleges of registered nurses, this is an issue which we have been raising. The problem, I'm talking about the economic recognition, being paid more if you have a university diploma. Now, we are not a trade union. We are the Federation of Official Registered Nurses Colleges. The point is that the trade unions have not really had an unambiguous reply. Apparently, the point which is invoked by hospitals is the following. Since not all universities already offer master courses in nursing, this means that there would be areas of the country in which people would be able to attend these master courses and so be paid more, and there would be other areas of the country in which people would be unable to attend master's courses because there's no university offering it, and so they would not be able to be paid more. And this would be discrimination. I mean, this can also be taken as an excuse not to pay anyone €1 more. But the point is that in the light of the analysis of current contracts of employment, probably there will be economic diversification based on the level of skills which one may prove by having a curriculum, a CV, which is clear and complete and which indicates what one is able to do. Probably this is what the future holds for us. Let's remember also that we have a constitutional reform underway, following upon which Italy will probably become entirely regionalized, will become a federal state, as it were, and so each region will have its own laws and regulations, and so a nurse in Venice will probably be paid differently from a nurse in Naples. I'm not saying more in Venice and less in Naples, but it will probably be different. And then, a last question. Now, academic qualifications, post-registration, they are preferential qualifications, but they are not mandatory. That is to say, you don't have to attend post-registration courses if you want to be a nurse. And so, obviously, I think this is quite clear. It's not mandatory. It's something extra you add to your qualifications. I hope I have answered all the questions.
C'è ancora una risposta sul giro di domande precedenti da Jos Latour sul problema del dolore della fine vita.
Well, before I start, I'd just like to comment a little bit, because I have the impression that you have here in Italy a very strong leader on this table sitting here. I would like to congratulate you with your leader. But in fact, she cannot do the work alone. And when you go to work on Monday, you all are becoming leaders. Don't go and watch your patients and sit back and relax and let others do the work. I think you can do and contribute to critical care nurses as well. Not only thinking about big research projects, but small, little practice quality projects. Show others, show your patients, show your other professionals that you are a nurse and that you can work and improve your nursing care. So it's not only what I think you have to sit and wait for some leaders to stand up and organize for you. No, go back to your own, it's you. About the question of quality of life, if you're torturing them, I would like to relate it to the education of nurses, to our practice as well. And I would like to refer to the second author, which is called Bürhaus, which published an article in 2002 in the New England Journal of Medicine. It's a large multi-center study, and they have a positive relationship between the amount of nurses and the higher education, that the outcome of our patients is much better if you do not have a low education and just a few nurses. This is a major study where you can use it to argue with your hospital management and listen, we need to educate and we need more nurses maybe, if you don't have enough. The question about end-of-life care, I think there were two issues. One issue was care aspects, and the other issue is saying or having the allowance to say yes or no when it comes to end-of-life decisions. It starts with the last one, yes or no. And I think, and I know from the studies that have been published, yes, indeed, most of them were medical. And recently I said to a whole bunch of medical directors and doctors, so listen, end-of-life care is mainly a nursing issue, because the word care is in there. So they all get crazy and angry on me. So indeed, the care aspect, how do we take care of our patients? That is our business. And yes, indeed, we need to collaborate with the doctors. And never ever let me allow a doctor that, listen, deciding about a patient's life is my decision, your doctor's decision only. No way. We are working in a collaborative, in a small, critical care environment, and I think we do have the right to participate in the discussion because we have our critical care knowledge, how our patient is doing at that moment. Because if that doctor wants to have 110 nurses from his ICU burned out, he should continue like that. If that doctor would see 10 nurses leaving the unit because of his practice, he has a problem. And this comes all to our own development, our own education. I think, yes, indeed, it should be in the curriculum of every critical care education that end-of-life care is an important issue to discuss. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Chiedo se c'è una domanda. Annalisa ha un aereo da...
Now, Annalisa has got a plane to catch, so if there is any specific question for her, let it come immediately, otherwise we'll set her free. Okay, it's down there. Good evening, I'm Natasha Leporati. I work in the acute care service in Parma. And I have a question for Annalisa regarding the right to learning, the right to education. Because we've been told that now we have the right to education. However, our practical experience, my practical experience in Parma, shows me that, I mean, it's a right, but it's just on paper. Post-registration courses have been started this year, but there are many people who have been denied this right. They've been even denied the special allowance, a set number of 150 hours per year, which can be reserved for study purposes, and actually this has been denied to workers, so they must take holidays to study. Some have tried asking for a part-time job in order to be able to study, but the hospitals reserve the right to reply to this demand in 6 months' time, which means that if I ask to have a part to be moved from full-time to part-time in order to be able to study, the hospital will reply to my request in March. Now, there's a further question. Please be as concise as possible. I work in resuscitation in Vimercate, near Milan. Now, I'm really angry, because I was in Sorrento in a conference 2 years ago and I listened to the same speeches, you know, nurses are caring, nurses are good, nurses are professional, but we never decide anything. We never have any say in respect of anything. So, I mean, I respect Mrs. Silvestri, but I don't feel that I'm represented by her. I have a brother who works in an industry and they produce aluminium sheets and he gets more money than I do. Now, this is not the chief issue. I don't want to talk about money, but, I mean, our job is a job which demands constant commitment, 7 days out of seven, 7 days a week. My brother can go back home during holidays and so on, and I am not allowed to do so. Okay, I'm through. My impression is that nurses are really prone to accepting things and are unable to stand up for their own rights. Okay, so I'll reply and then catch my plane so we'll be able to interact with our foreign friends. So, as regards the right to learning and the right to education, now, one aspect is that of what is written in your contracts of employment, which means that you have the right to enjoy 150 hours to study, then you have paid leave for study and education and so on. And this is the objective and legal status. And then there is the point of how hospitals actually behave. And this is perhaps not just a case for Parma, which is your case, or or whatever. The point is that the hospital management will say, well, but if you give leave to everyone, there'll be not enough staff and so on. You know, they'll come up with excuses and so on and so forth. And then as regards this entitlement to 150 hours, which you're allowed to take for educational purposes, the point is that our current contract also sets a priority, a hierarchy of workers who have priority in enjoying the right to education. And it may seem strange, but if someone hasn't even finished primary school, well, they're entitled to take hours off to study for that before those who want to get a university degree or a master's degree. In addition to this, there is really a major gap between contract provisions and what hospitals actually do. What about our role? Well, we are the Federation of Colleges of Registered Nurses. We are not a trade union of nurses, so it's not up to us to deal with issues related to the non-implementation of contract provisions. It's trade unions who should stand up for that. Also because, obviously, I mean, it's quite clear that if you're allowed to get the education you require, this will have a major positive impact on the way in which you work. So I agree with this entirely, but it's not up to us to do that. As regards, you know, the bottom of the room, which seems to be quite active, quite dynamic, and I'm happy about that because we're a profession which is lively and dynamic, but I'm really sorry for the colleague who doesn't feel that I'm resenting him, so I'll try to do my best to represent him in a better way. But allow me to return to the economic issues, economic recognition. Now, I may have been unclear, but what I meant by what I said before is that I mean that nurses should have a salary which is directly connected to their physical commitment and their mental commitment and their legal liability, because after all, I think that doctors' salaries and nurses' salaries should not be so different. But you are booing me while you should boo your trade unions, because it's trade unions who negotiate your salary. It's not me. I don't negotiate your salary. I just represent a profession, but I don't represent you as a trade union. And anyhow, if you don't feel I'm representing you, I'd like to invite you to vote for representative in your local branch, and they will not elect me, and so you'll have a better representative. Thank you very much.
Okay, per quanto riguarda il fatto che anche a Sorrento 2 anni fa abbiamo fatto questi bei discorsi.
As regards what we have been saying in Sorrento a couple of years ago, we've been spending so many fine words about the nursing profession, saying that nurses are good and caring and so on. Well, Aniarty will keep saying these things because we believe in it, at least as long as I remain on the board of Aniarty. And I believe that it's really important to be able to discriminate between the role of a trade union, the role of the local college of registered nurses, the role of the federation of colleges of registered nurses, and the role of an association such as Aniarty. Now, allow me to recall our first meeting in Siena in 1984. At that time, there was almost a physical brawl with colleagues, but we did repeat and we say that we don't want to turn into a trade union. Although you can see that we do have manpower. Look at how many people we have here. But trade unions already exist. They have to do the job. Our job is to ensure that they do the job, but it's their job to negotiate our salaries. Now, what is missing in Italy is the thing we have decided to invest on, that is to say, a cultural development for the nursing profession. And this is the course we have chosen. It is an absolute priority for us, and it is only trained, skilled, cultivated and educated nurses who understand the context, who can not only improve their work, but who can also put forward intelligent requests to their colleges, to their trade unions, and to the governments. This is a priority for Aniarty. And so I can assure you that Aniarty will keep working in this direction. It will keep providing nurses with tools to understand the reality, to understand their work, and to understand the scientific evidence, which should be the foundation for their activity. And this, indeed, is the unavoidable foundation for any reflection, for any analysis. And it's this, and only this, which will ensure that we have still a role to play. Now, actually, we have to finish in 2 minutes' time. Just one last question, very concise, please. Two questions. Raffaele Manzo, Resuscitation, Nocera Inferiore. Please be silent because we want to listen to the questions. Thank you. Well, we've been talking about the freedom and autonomy of nurses in managing care in cooperation with other care providers and also with the guidance or advice of external care providers. But, for instance, in hospitals, in my hospital, the hospital says that if I have to resort to an external consultant, an external care provider, it's the doctor who must sign a request for that. Liga Turco, Emergency Medicine. I'm sorry that Mrs. Silvestri has left us, but I wanted to apologize to her for the boos and hisses, because we're in democracy. And since we're actually envied by other European colleagues in that respect, I wanted to ask, are we really sure that we will be able to be united, that all nurses will be able to unite?
When the other guy upstairs at the back said something, my first comment was almost your answer. We cannot change nursing in one day. It will take a few years' time. And are we having a European nursing union with a very strong voice in the European community, European Commission? We're working on that, but as I have been closely monitoring this event for the past 5 years, it will definitely take another 5 to 10 years.
I think if you look at the history of nursing, we have been, the big thing that holds us back is our divisiveness. We do not seem to agree on one common agenda. If you look at the history from the beginning of time of nursing, we have so many divisions, but I think it's changing. We have divisions of who is a nurse, who is not a nurse, is a man a nurse, or is he not a nurse. And until we start speaking a common language, having a united voice, we are our worst enemies. But things are moving forward, and today is an example of bringing a lot of people, and if we all speak together, 1,700 people will listen. If we start dividing, then we cannot have the ears of the people that matter.
Dobbiamo chiudere questa sessione.
Okay, we're sorry we must close the session, but not before we have thanked our two foreign friends and colleagues who have been giving us a major contribution and an enlightening one on the prospects of our profession. And let's hope in the future it will be possible for us to work with them even on more specific issues. Okay, thank you very much. Now, working orders. Now we're going to have the general